All right, Ephesians 4. We have a lot to go over today. My goal is to get through it and finish up with this concept of fullness and move on to the next branch, which will be primarily out of Ephesians 3, talking about the eternal purpose of God in relationship to the mystery. So we've been talking about this concept of fullness, that God has designed us to have the fullness of Christ dwelling within us. Last week, we spent our time going over Ephesians 3, talking about how we are to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, so that we can understand all the different aspects of love, to understand things that even surpass knowledge, so that we can be filled up to all the fullness of God. And the Greek's emphatic on that. It's saying, I don't need you to take this down any notches. I don't need you to try to explain this one away. The Greek is very specific that His design for us is to be filled up to all the fullness of God, specifically in the concept of love, because that is how God primarily demonstrates Himself to this world. It's how we're going to be able to show His character, is by the self-sacrificial love that Jesus had when He was here. Sometimes Jesus had to get in people's faces. That has to happen once in a while. But it's mainly Jesus was out there serving to the point of pain and damage to Himself. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for that inside the church. He's looking for that outside the church. The last time we see fullness in Ephesians is here in Ephesians 4. What this message is going to be about today is, what is the role of leadership that God has placed in the church in regard to this concept? Why did God put leadership in the church? Why did He put all of these roles? I mean, we understand the concept of apostle and prophet. They were there to lay down the foundation of the church. And then once that's laid down, why does He have leadership roles beyond that? Well, it's because there's guidance that's needed. And these leaders have a very specific purpose. And one of the things that I really just want to emphasize real quick before I get into the actual meat of the message, any conversation that's revolving leadership that doesn't start with this is a faulty conversation, and it's not going to have the result that we need. We have to understand Ephesians 4, 7 through 16 very, very clearly if we're going to understand what leadership is designed to do. Let's talk about this. Let's go to verse 7. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, He's talking about unity. Unity is all through this. And that's the other aspect. When we participate and have the love of God being manifested in our lives, unity is the thing that comes as a result of that. That's super important. The body of Christ can't function when it's not unified. And it's more than just everybody getting along. It means that we're all working toward the same purpose, the same goals. So let's go to verse 7. He says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men." Now, this expression, "He ascended," what does it mean? That He also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. "And He who descended is Himself also He who ascended far above all things." I'm sorry, far above all heavens. Mixing up the lines there. "Far above all the heavens, so that He might fill all things. And He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of saints for the work of service and unto the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." A lot of stuff in there. And we're going to try to hit as much of that as possible. Now, There are four offices listed here in verse 11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and then the pastor teacher. Now, some try to divide that out into five, but the Greek's pretty clear on that because it uses definite articles in front of each grouping. And that last one, pastors and teachers, only has one definite article, so it's lumping them together. Now you think, okay, well, pastor, teacher, what is that? Well, that's the elder. That's the overseer. So why is he bringing out two aspects? Because what he's doing is he's bringing out in verbal action form the two functions of the elder. The elder's primary function is shepherding and teaching. As a matter of fact, you can't shepherd without teaching. Anytime an elder is sitting down shepherding someone, he is teaching them. That is why one of the primary characteristics of qualifications of an elder is that they must be able to teach. It's fundamental in what it is that they do. But there's four different offices here, and each one of these offices differs from each other. These offices, here's another aspect of it. What does God call them? He calls them the gifts that he personally gave to the church. So an apostle, all the apostles were gifts that he gave to the church. The prophets, those were gifts. The evangelist, that's what I was ordained as, gifts to the church. Pastors and teachers, gifts to the church. Or at least they're supposed to be. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes you have people that don't, TK used this phrase this week in our podcast, sometimes they don't understand the assignment. Right? They don't understand what it is that they're supposed to be doing. And so they might go on power trips. They might deviate over here. They might do all different kinds of things, except what they're actually supposed to be doing. Now, the question then arises, what are they supposed to be doing? You know what's amazing? The rest of the passage tells us exactly what they are supposed to be doing. Now, the most famous verse, when you ask, okay, what's the role of leadership in the church? Most people look at verse 12. They start and finish with verse 12, right? So let's look at verse 12. What is it that they're supposed to do? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Boom, hard stop. Problem is, that's not the hard stop. The sentence continues, which we will go on to here in a moment. But let's look at verse 12. The grammar here is super cool. Now, you guys know I like the grammar side of things, because what Greek has a tendency to do is it has a tendency to show through like the prepositions and the verb forms. It shows the motion of the thought. You ever talk to someone and they're telling you something, they're explaining something to you, and you're like, I have no idea where you're going with this. Jess is like, yup. I have no idea where you're going with this. What are you saying? You're going on a destination and I got no clue what that destination is because I'm not following you. Language provides movement of thought. And so what I try to do, I hope it's not tedious. My goal is to take that motion of thought through the Greek without diving into Greek and showing you the motion of that thought so that you can understand what the writer is trying to get across. Okay. Now, what's really cool is the prepositions are the main thing that show that movement relative to an object. You know, into, away from, above, below, next to, all of these different types of proximities and motion of thought. Now, pay attention first off to verse 12, where it says, for the equipping of the saints. That preposition is, now, if you look in English, it's all for the equipping, for the work of service, to the building. So it's not showing any of the motion there. The leader's job toward the saints is to equip them for something. Now, that word for equip means you're able to get the job done. you're able to get the job done, for emphasis. Two specific things that you're supposed to be doing. Two specific things that I'm and every other leader, apostles, prophets, are supposed to help you to be able to do. And these two are governed by the same preposition, which is that ice that we all know of, into. So imagine these two things are circles. You're outside of it. I'm outside of it. And the job of all leadership is to help you get into this circle to do this specific thing. What are the two things? The work of service and the building up of the body of Christ. Your job, my job, every Christian's job is to do the work of service. My job, your job, every Christian's job is to build up the body of Christ. So, Dale was asking some introspective questions. I'm going to be asking some introspective questions. You ever find it's really easy to state, well, I'm in the body of Christ, you're not helping to build me up? I'm glad that's not like that here, because I've been in lots of churches where that's been the thing. I'm not getting anything out of this. Well, that's not why you're here. The primary reason you're here is to build up other people. The primary reason you're here is to get the work of service done. So guess what? If everybody's doing that, you're going to end up getting built up too. And I'll tell you this. Been doing this for a little while now. You want to know when I get built up the most? Is when I'm helping other people. That's when I grow the most. Is when I'm helping other people. Didn't Paul say, Jesus said, it is more blessed to what? Give than receive. A lot of times people get that backwards, don't they? It's more blessed to receive than to give. No. Give. Now notice something else. Notice he just lays out some general principles here. Guess what? Work of service, building up the body. He doesn't give a lot of specifics. He's not gonna. The scripture lays out in general terms. Now, he will give some specifics, but he really lays out in general terms what we're supposed to do. And if we love and if we have a strong enough desire, we'll figure out what needs to get done and how things work. And that's also part of the goal of leadership, is to help chart that course. But if you see something that needs to get done, and what I mean by that is, you see a part of the body of Christ that needs built up, build it. Talk to somebody. Encourage them. Do you go up to people and try to interject and try to encourage them? Or is everything about people having to come to you? Sometimes I do little experiments. I wonder, how long does time pass before someone comes up and talks to me? There are some people that if I don't talk to them, they'll never talk to me. Is that how that's supposed to work? Especially when you see part of the body hurting. Take a step out, build them up. That's what we're here to do. Now, this whole concept of the saints as a whole being involved in the work of service and building up the body of Christ, it's one of the main reasons that I think most of us here, probably all of us here, reject the whole professional clergy system. Jeremiah thinks it's funny. It is funny, isn't it? I always call it clergy because that's a silly word. That's the mindset. And I'm glad this doesn't exist here. But I've been places where this has existed. The mindset is we pay you, you get the job done. So we can sit back and be entertained. It's not a biblical one. See, the payment that a church gives to the one who serves and leads is a recognition of value that they already bring to the table. And if someone is blessed enough to be full-time in that, it's because people recognize the value and want them to be full-time so they're not held in by encumbrance of work. What annoys me to no end, and I can speak from this because I came from the system, is when people graduate Bible college and think that they're owed a living without ever being tested, without ever having provided any practical value to the church. Oh, that bugs me. It's not how it's supposed to function. Yes, those who proclaim the gospel should earn their living from the gospel. But if you look at the way Paul did it, he earned his living from the people that he built and converted. They saw the value that he did, and they paid him for it. You'll notice when I came here 10 years ago, I didn't take a dime. They never charged for 5 years. I didn't want anyone to think that that's why I was here. Bugs me when people have that sense of entitlement. It's not the way it's supposed to work. Now let's get to the good stuff. Verse 13. So again, people like to end at verse 12, building up of the, work of service, building up of the body. But then you get that first word in verse 13, until. In other words, there's a goal that this all is supposed to go to. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Oh my goodness, there's so much in here. You can't even have, a real discussion on leadership and the qualifications of leadership without understanding verse 13. And anyone that tries without including verse 13 does not understand what they're doing. So first of all, until we all. In other words, this is the whole church. And then in verse 16, he's about to break it down a little bit later. Every part of us individually. In other words, it's not just about us as a group or the church as a whole throughout history. It's about each individual part, each individual joint, every individual person functioning the way that they're supposed to function. So it says, until we all attain, arriving at the specific goal that he's about to mention. Now, there's three prepositions in this verse, and they're all the preposition ice again. So in other words, imagine a circle. There's three things that he's saying are the three goals that you need to arrive into. All leadership is designed to bring people to come into these three things. The first one is made up of two things. This is kind of sound weird, but they're intimately connected. The first destination is the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Unity of the faith, that makes sense, doesn't it? When we get to John 17, we're not going to go there today. It's going to be something we're going to do a little bit later. But Jesus' prayer. Remember how much of his prayer was focused on unity? The same kind of unity that the Father and the Son had? That's the kind of unity he's looking for in the church. Completely and utterly intertwined for the same purpose, for the same goal. And then he mentions the knowledge of the Son of God. He mentions the knowledge of the Son of God. Someone just tried to call me. Let me, do not disturb. There we go. Leave me alone. Knowledge of the Son of God. That word knowledge means a full knowledge. full knowledge. So the first destination, unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God. I don't know what that back table's doing, but y'all are plotting on something. Don't do it. Yeah, I just see you and Brent just conspiring about something back there, so. Second destination. Into a complete man. That word man, singular. The word for complete means perfect. All of the church, from the beginning to the end, every single person here, every single person that has ever existed that's been a part of the church, every single person that's going to be a part of the church, multiple people. He's telling you, I'm trying to bring you together into one complete man. Christ is the head. This is the body of Christ he's talking about. Where everything's functioning the way that it's supposed to, all moving the way the head, the brain, the mind, Christ himself is telling us to go to. Not somebody that's having different parts go different places. I had a guy that a friend of mine converted up in Ohio. That I would go, he would come be a part of our church once in a while when he could make it. His name is Don, and he had Huntington's disease. Anybody familiar with Huntington's disease? It's horrible. It's horrible. He couldn't stop moving. He had no control of his body. His nerves were just firing in all different ways. That's what happens. That's what it looks like. Look it up sometime. And he died from that. It's a horrible way to go. That's not how the body is supposed to function. But when everybody thinks I can do my own thing, it's like fostering Huntington's disease inside the church. We're supposed to be united in this thing. Doesn't mean that we're all clones. We're all supposed to be different because we all have different gifts and different abilities. We're supposed to be functioning as a complete whole. But we're supposed to be functioning the way that God is telling the church she needs to function. So that's the second destination, a complete man. The third has quite a bit in there. So this is where we go, where he says in verse 13, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Essentially, measure means the standard or determined quality. Stature means the stage of development. In other words, there is a quality, there is a stage of development that the church is supposed to reach, is supposed to go towards. Leadership, you're supposed to help the church get to this stage. And this is where so much of it goes off the rails. The apostles' job, the prophet's job, the evangelist's job, the elder's job, is to help the church reach a point, a certain stage of maturity that is defined as the fullness of Christ. My job is to help everybody that is in my sphere to reach the stage of development that is categorized and defined as the fullness of Christ. That is why I can be so annoying. That is why I push pretty hard. But I'll tell you what. If I'm not trying to get there, there's no way I can help you get there. If I don't even believe it's possible, there's definitely no way that I can get you there. Look at all the different churches out there. How many people actually even believe that it's possible for the Christian to get to the fullness of Christ? So how can they lead people to get there? If they think that we're all just a bunch of sinners, how are they ever going to have people get to be the fullness of Christ? It's not possible. So Paul is not saying that church leadership is to train the saints to just do some work, grow up a little bit, you know, be respectable and, you know, don't sin so much. Don't, you know, don't tarnish the reputation of the church. No, the leadership in verse 11 exists to prepare the saints so that the entire body reaches the goal of the complete intended measure that belongs to the fullness of Christ. This is the goal in the end and the result of the mystery. That's why even deacons, before they even enter into the true phase of leadership, that's why deacons have to hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. You can't even be a recognized servant of the church without holding to the mystery in a clear conscience or with a clear conscience. See, if Jeremiah didn't believe that we have the Holy Spirit to turn us into the image of Christ, he never would have been ordained as a deacon. It's one of the primary qualifications. So we see that and we think, okay, that's the goal. That's what leadership is supposed to function. Now, the first question that should probably pop up is, well, what does that look like? Well, Paul does something pretty fantastic in the rest of the chapter. He explains what it looks like. Verse 14 looks at it from a negative perspective. Verses 15 and 16 look at it from a positive perspective. So let's dive in this. So look at verse 14. He says, as a result of all of this growth that's supposed to be happening and leadership doing what it's supposed to be doing, he says, we are no longer to be children. In other words, no longer means, man, everybody comes out of the spiritual womb kicking and screaming a little bit. Children tossed here and there, you know, not really solid. He says, guess what? You're not supposed to stay there. Now, here's what ends up happening. After we've been in the church for a while, been in the faith for a while, maybe some aspects of our lives are mature and maybe some aspects we're still, you know, wearing a diaper. What should we do about that? Well, I'm doing good in this part, so it's okay for me to keep on wearing the diaper over here. No. You know what he says later on? Grow up. Grow up. Don't take the part that you're not developing and hold it tight and not let Jesus have access to it. As a matter of fact, the part of you that maybe you're still struggling with should be the first thing you're praying about, Lord, help me to get through this. Talk to your brothers and sisters. Help me to get through this. Help me to grow. I don't want to stay a child in this area. Because he's about to say in a second, we're to grow up into all aspects into him. So no longer be children, tossed here and there. I mean, sometimes, especially when you're young in the faith, man, you just get the snot beat out of you. It's just the way it is. That's good. You learn a lot. Take your licks. Learn from them. But eventually, we get to the point where, oh, what was it? Timex. Remember the old Timex phrase? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Right? Eventually you get to that point where it's like they just start throwing stuff at you. And it's like, man, I'm just moving forward. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to sting. But you're not stopping me. I'm moving forward. So he says, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Man, we got to know our stuff. So I just want to encourage you with something. There's good teaching at this assembly. Jeremiah does a really, really good job. TK's doing a good job. You guys that do the meditations, you're coming up here, you're doing a really good job. I know the Bible studies that are going on, doing a really good job. I want to encourage the people getting taught. Don't be a forgetful hearer, be an effectual doer. Whatever you got to do to remember, whether that's going back over the lessons, whether it's writing notes, whether it's asking questions, whatever the case is, when we're sitting here or sitting somewhere or wherever it is, make sure we're here to work. We're here to work to understand, to retain, to listen, and to take these things and apply them to our lives. If it's at all possible, be at all the assemblies. That's how we build up the body. I appreciate the, I mean, look, I know for me, and I know from Jeremiah too, and I assume it's like this with anybody who's up here. I know Joel, it was this way with Joel. I spend hours on these things. I do 3 lessons a week, plus all my Bible studies, plus podcasts. I spend hours on this stuff. And I'm not saying, I love doing it, don't get me wrong. This is the whole purpose of my life, is to help people understand who Jesus is. But I know Jeremiah spends a lot of time on what he does. We owe it to the people to listen, to take what they're giving us, and if it's true biblical stuff, to make it a part of who we are. To be good followers. He talks about by craftiness and deceitful scheming. You know, it's one of the main reasons why we're up here. Make sure that you're able to discern truth from error. Now on to the positive stuff. He says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now he says, speaking the truth in love. I mean, man, that's the total opposite of all those yahoos we were just talking about there who, you know, craftiness and deceitful scheming. That concept of speaking the truth in love, that word for speaking there is actually a little bit of a confrontational thing. That's why he adds the in love part. Sometimes the preaching, the teaching, the discussion, sometimes we have to get into stuff. That's why the love is so important. I mean, look, I think of hard conversations I've had to have with my wife at times where, you know, or mainly hard conversations she's had to have with me is most of the time how that works. And she always approaches it in love. And the reason we're able to have those conversations to come out the other side so much better, and it's like that with all interpersonal relationships, is because we have love for one another. And so we push forward. And then he says we're supposed to grow up into all things in him, all aspects. Again, the direction of growth. All things in our lives are to grow up into him. We can't stay children. Again, the goal of all of this is the fullness of Christ, the head. And just in case, you know, sometimes, you know, we want to melt into the crowd. Verse 16 calls us out. Look what verse 16 says. From whom the whole body, so all of us, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. Each individual part. That's you, that's me. For what purpose? Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Each individual part participates in this. Well, someone might think, hey, you know what? The body here is growing. So that must mean all is well, right? It means things are moving in the right direction. It's pretty awesome. Lots of contact studies, growth. It's wonderful. However, I'd like to ask this question. Would the body be growing even faster if everyone would do what's prescribed in these verses? If every individual part made it their life mission to grow up into the fullness of Christ, to say, I'm going to function at as peak performance as I can because God deserves it. See, we aren't just looking for growth. We're looking for the growth that comes from each individual part supplying what God has put them in the body to supply. You're here for a reason. And nobody else can provide what you provide for the proper growth and working of the body. You know why I push so hard? As in preaching and teaching, why do I deliver a message? It'd just be easier not to push so hard in preaching and make everybody feel really good. Three reasons. Number one, I'm charged by God, specifically in passages like this, and I want to be faithful to that charge. Number two, I want the benefit for you in moving toward the goal. Number three, I want the full benefit you will bring to the body when you fully engage in this process. I know in my life, it's probably even here, guarantee it, not even here, I have not led perfectly. And I thank you for your grace if I mess up. I've been in places where people think, here's what I would do in your situation. It's not that hard. It's pretty easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, right? It's a whole lot different when you're actually in the situation. I always ask myself the question, how am I doing in leading? What do I need to do better? Always trying to figure that out. And you know what? There's never a shortage of answers that come from asking that question. I'd like to ask you a question too. I'd like you to ask that question about yourself. How am I doing in fulfilling these passages, these prescriptions? What can I do better? How can I proceed forward better? You know, scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 says to obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. I am so thankful that I am part of a congregation where the vast, overwhelming majority of the time, I get to lead with joy. And I thank you guys for that. Because you let me do that. We're a team. We work together. I understand my assignment. I try to do it with 100% faithfulness. So every single thing that I try to do, whether you might understand it or not, is always coming from the perspective of trying to help us grow into the fullness of Christ. So if I push, if I begin or continue to annoy, know that I am just trying to fulfill the divine charge through the ages that has been given to me as one who will give an account. My only goal is to help us all be filled up to all the fullness of Christ so that this church will be able to perform at the highest level possible. You know what I'm thankful for? So many of you have that exact same goal. And by the grace of God, we will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for every single person here, those listening as well, that I'm thankful, Father, that we're a team, a body, that we work together. I pray that all of us, Father, will consider ways to increase that. What can we do better? What can we grow up in? What can I grow up in? What can I do better in serving you? Father, so that we can be a fully functional, maintaining peak performance in the way that we serve you, Lord God, to be the best light that we can be in this lost and dying world. Thank you, Father, for every soul here. And I pray that we continue to seek your face in all that we do. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.